again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 246, in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen here over the past 50 years, the WHKP years since 1946. It follows the same format as that used by the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons, so we call it Where Fitz Left Off. And this would have been the day, if Mr. Fitz were still living, this would have been the day he'd arrive at the station to record his scripts for the week, and it being the Monday before Christmas, he would come bearing beautifully wrapped boxes of candy for the girls who worked at the station. They don't realize it, but I've tried to keep that custom going all these years where Fitz left off. Many years ago, I learned from Bevo Middleton how much the fairer sex appreciates compliments. In fact, after Bevo left here, I'd hear so many women comment how they missed Bevo. He always told them how beautiful they were. And another insight came from Mr. Frank L. Fitzsimmons. Back when he was doing his daily programs over WHKP, I would overhear the girls in the station all aflutter over, "Oh, this is the day Mr. Fitzsimmons brings us candy." Back then, my reaction was, "What's the big to-do over a box of candy?" But in my youth, I was missing the point. It later dawned on me it wasn't just a box of candy. It was being remembered by Mr. Fitz with a lovely gift at Christmas. I doubt if it has dawned on any of the girls that it was only a year or so after Mr. Fitz died that I took up back then where Mr. Fitz had left off. And just before Christmas, I've continued his custom of remembering the girls at the station with a gift of sweets. Down through the years, I learned so much just from being around Frank Fitzsimmons. In almost any of life's experiences, Mr. Fitz had been there, had done that. Frank was actually born in Michigan, but in his very early years, the family had moved to Spartanburg. While he and the Fitzsimmons family would come to the mountains in the summertime, he was 23 years old before he moved here to take a job teaching school at Hendersonville High School, and he also became the first coach at HHS to win a football game. One of his greatest yarns, he liked to tell, was how he dreamed up that magic play that won the game while milking a cow named Arabella, and he called the play the Arabella Shuffle. Tom Landry used somewhat that same play with the Dallas Cowboys generations later. Mr. Fitz taught at Blue Ridge School for Boys and in other public schools for better than 20 years, until he was named Register of Deeds and served in that capacity until 1948, when he became associated with the Old State Trust Company. Shortly thereafter, he began his series here on WHKP from the banks of the Ocklawaha, which was later edited into three volumes and earned awards, including the Thomas Wolfe Award and special honors from the Appalachian Consortium. For more than 25 years, Fitz and I worked together on the speaker's platform. I was the designated MC. Frank was always the featured speaker, and that was for everything from pig giveaways to very pretentious programs and formal ribbon cuttings. And when his son Frank Jr. and I were successful in persuading him to publish the three volumes, he chose my brother Grady as his editor, and he accorded me the honor of composing the wording on the cover. While he was winner of the coveted Navy Cross, he would never share with me or anyone else the details of the military action which led to this award. He was a very humble man. Mr. Fitz lived among a people and in a time when the worst thing that could be said about you was, he got above his raisin. And he would go way out of his way to maintain his accessibility and his humility. He was almost 80 years old, but still agreed to speak to the English class at Flat Rock Junior High School, to share with them how the old man on the mountain could forecast the weather of the winter to come. And he also passed along to them folk sayings such as, "Moles on the neck mean money by the peck," or, "Bite a mule's ear to tame him," or, "If you take the last piece of cake, you'll be an old maid." His was the first bust of a local Henderson County man to be placed in the public library November 29, 1973. It was with great reluctance that he made public appearances in those final years. He said, "I want folks to remember me as a person with reasonable intelligence, not some doddering old fool wandering around not knowing what day it is." And Fitz continued, "The sad thing is that your family nor your friends will tell you when you're senile. So I just play it safe. I stay at home. And if my mind is wandering, I'll not be out in public where everybody can see it. Mr. Fitz died January 29, 1980, but the great man lives on in his son, Frank L. Fitzsimmons, Jr. He's followed almost identically the career of his father, serving in the Navy aboard a PT boat, actively engaged in farming all his life, then with a career all the way to retirement in banking, serving as a vice president, as his father did, of the same bank. And like his father, he's been involved all his life in civic activities, farm groups, and is not just custodian of his father's historical papers, but is familiar with the history of this county based on these notes and on his own personal experiences. Frank Fitzsimmons Sr. married Margarita Kershaw, and her father built a house on Barnwell Street known as the Kershaw House. And the greatest coincidence of the friendship of the Fitzsimmons and Edney families was that born in this Kershaw House on Barnwell Street was this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here with a good sense never to leave and a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.